We certainly appreciate that has been preached unto us this morning and in the manner that it has come unto us. It brings us right up to the thoughts that have been upon my mind the last few days concerning some subject matter that with man, it is not of him that runneth.
Yeah.
With man, it is not of him that has zeal or makes a noise or a disturbance or from a natural standpoint does anything trying to do the things of God and cannot do, that God does His work and God gives the ability and the strength and the help that we need to engage in the very service of the Lord. I want to direct your attention in the Old Testament to the book of Jeremiah to begin with this morning. We certainly don't want to take your mind away from the things that you've heard, but I believe it comes right up to this and will be very fitting, and I'm so thankful for that. That it's the things that have been upon my mind and what I had already thought about this morning by the help and grace of God. But I want to turn to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, if you will. And as we turn to Jeremiah chapter 23, and particularly some verses we'll go to, for the sake of time and so forth, we'll skip around a little bit, but I want you to notice in verse 9 and 10, kind of the setting here, we have in the first part of this where the Lord makes a wonderful promise to through Jeremiah in his prophesying to the Lord's people. He said in verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth."
Yeah.
Then we go on down to verse 9 and looking at the subject matter, and the attention is turned to false prophets.
Yeah.
And there were plenty of false prophets in Jeremiah's day. There was plenty of activity.
Right.
There was plenty of running about, if you please. There were plenty that was not prophesying by the mouth of the Lord, but the Bible tells us plainly in verse 13, they prophesied in Baal. They prophesied by Baal. They were students of Baal, a false doctrine, a false god. So their message was not the message of the Lord. They were not sent by the Lord. They had activity. They were running with a message, but it was the wrong message. It wasn't from God. It wasn't that the Lord. The Lord had not called them. The Lord had not put His word in their mouth and the burning to speak that word in their heart. But it was from themselves and from other ungodly men prompting and prodding them. But they thought because they were active. And you know, we see that in the land today. We see this among many that are ignorant of God's word. And many times on many subject matters, the apostle says to the brethren, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren."
Yeah.
Concerning lots of different subject matters, he uses that expression in the writing and in the preaching. I believe the word of God, the preaching of the gospel, is to inform and to educate God's people, to instruct God's people in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of the true gospel. we understand that it's not in men's wisdom, it's not in man's doings and in man's getting up and in his favor of activity and noise and so forth, my friend. But it is in that the Lord does, that the Lord instructs, that message that the Lord gives. And so in Jeremiah's day, there were these false prophets, and they were running, they were speaking, they were causing the Lord's people to err. The Bible tells us that in verse 13, he said, "And cause my people Israel to err." Cause my people Israel to walk in the wrong way because they did not have the message from the Lord. They didn't have the truth from God. They were not instructing the people in the ways of God and the commandments of the Lord, but in the ways of man, in the ways of falsehood, in the ways of false teaching. And that is condemned here in this context that we have in this particular portion of the word of the Lord here in Jeremiah. I want you to notice what Jeremiah said here in verse 9 and 10 concerning these false prophets and the effect that Jeremiah felt because of what they were doing. He said, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. Jeremiah says, I know the words of the Lord. I know His holiness. I know what God stands for. I know what God has me to speak. And I hear these other false prophets. I hear these other false things going about. And they just shake and rattle me. I am so distressed with what I hear. I'm like a drunken man. I feel to be shaken and staggering and tossed. In other words, it is such an effect. Why, Jeremiah? Because Jeremiah knows of the impending judgment of God upon such, and how that God will judge the children of Israel and what is coming upon them because they are giving heed to false teaching. And they're listening to these false prophets, and thereby they're going into error. They're walking contrary to God's word. Yes, there was an excitement about it. There was a roaring about it. There was a zeal about it. But it was all ignorance. Amen. It was all darkness. This is why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, when he says, my prayer to God, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Here Paul has a great burden and desire, amen, for the Lord's people among his people, that they would be delivered from that ignorance and from that darkness, that they would come into the light of understanding and the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. He had a great burden for them and said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now we know and understand the salvation that is under consideration there, because we read in Romans 11 and 26 where the Apostle Paul by divine inspiration says, and so all Israel shall be saved. Amen. So when he's praying that his brethren might be saved, it's not in the same salvation and desire that he understands when he says in Romans 11, 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. The Apostle Paul wasn't praying for their eternal salvation in Romans chapter 10 there. He wasn't praying that God would save them for heaven and immortal glory. But the scriptures explain themselves, that they could be delivered and saved from ignorance and from darkness, and that they would come to realize that there's an end of the law of trusting in it and having that burden upon you to those that will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him, in His finished work, could find that sweet rest that they were so in need of. I see many today running to and fro. I see many excited in a way of religious things under the umbrella of quote unquote Christianity. They're running here and there. They're zealous of this and that, and having a desire to try to get folks saved for heaven and immortal glory. Well, I want to tell you, that's a burden that you can't bear. That's a burden that is so distressful and hard. It is that which will burden you down so, because you don't have any kind of part. You, no matter how much you might run or have a zeal or talk to folks or whatever, you can't bring one from a state of dead and trespass and sin to a state of life in Christ Jesus. You can't do anything to help God along that particular line. It is a burden and a heartache to be under that. But folks seem to think that running and religious activity and things of that nature is what gets the job done. That certainly does not. I want you to notice in verse 10, "For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right." This is the way Jeremiah sees things. Jeremiah was warning and telling the folks. He was speaking by the mouth of the words that God had spoken and given to him, and the burning in his heart. He got discouraged a lot of times. He felt like quitting. He wanted to forbear. He wanted to just give it up. But when he tried to do that, he said that it's like fire shut up in his bones, and he could not forbear. But he had to speak forth. He had to speak those true words of the Lord and try to warn the Lord's people. But all the same time, those false prophets were prophesying and preaching lies and falsehood. Yes, they made a lot of noise. Yes, they had a lot of activity. They had a lot going about. Everything that glitters is not gold. Everything that makes a great noise and a tumult is not of the Lord and from the Lord and pleasing unto the Lord. We realize and understand of our Lord that He speaks peace and comfort in a still small voice under our hearts to cheer us and to calm us and to bless us with His word and with the preaching of the precious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice as we go just a little bit further into this, in verse 21, the Lord says, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." The Lord says, "I didn't command them to run." You know, we know of another place where one was so excited. He didn't have the message. He just got up and went. And when he got there, he didn't have anything to tell. He just got excited about going, about the doing. My friend, we need to stop and look and listen and realize that there is something that is real. There's something that is steadfast. There's something you can sink your teeth into. There's something that you can lay hold of the truth of God in Christ Jesus. That His word is true. That it stands as one body of truth. And that it is consistent and concise. And the truth never needs propping up. these falsehoods and these lies of religious things. They have to tell one after another. They have to continuously to take and to prop up this and to prop up that. Oh, but the truth of God's word and the message when the Lord gives it, and when His messenger runs with the message, comes to God's people and comes before the Lord's flock and speaks the truth as it is in Christ and speaks the true riches of God's precious word. Oh, it will touch within. It will bear witness with the Spirit of God that is within. It doesn't appeal to the carnal. It doesn't appeal to the flesh nature. We don't worship God in the flesh. The true worshipers worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't serve God out of the carnal nature. You see it out of the carnal nature. Amen. We're to follow after the Spirit. We're to live after the Spirit. We're to follow after, amen, the voice of the Lord from His Word that instructs us and teaches us. And just because something is exciting and thrilling and appeals to the flesh and to the masses. You know, there were many that followed the Lord, but the Lord basically said, they're following me for the loaves and the fish. That's why they're following me. Then when the Lord gave them some hard sayings, they said they were hard sayings. Oh, and they departed and walked away. Oh, when the rubber met the road. I tell you, when the noise is gone, when the hype is gone, when the thrills, that which incites, for as the carnal senses, our natural senses, you see men want to run after that that appeals to the eyes and to the ears and to the taste and to the feeling and so forth. Oh, but you see, in the spirit nature and that new creature, we also have senses, amen, that we're to exercise, amen, spiritual sight and spiritual hearing and spiritual smell and spiritual taste. One place He said, oh, taste the Lord and see that He's good. Taste the Lord. Oh, all of these same senses, but in the spiritual way. That's how we're to worship Him, with our spiritual senses in spirit and in truth, seeing the Lord high and lifted up. You know, until Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, all he could see was the faults and sins of everyone else. But when he saw the Lord, he said, woe am I, for I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And it was when he saw the Lord, and when the dispatch came, and the tongues from the altar and the coal placed upon his lips, oh, what a great change of service there was for him. Oh, brethren, if we're going to be that the Lord would have us to be and teaches us in a way of discipleship, then we need to exercise our senses unto godliness and unto holiness, seeing the Lord, hearing the word of the Lord, the truth of God's precious word, that which indeed does certainly harmonize. Notice he went on to say in verse 22, but if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Amen. In other words, these men aren't preaching that message. These men aren't preaching these great things about the attributes and the characteristics of God and how great God is and how sovereign that God is, and that God feels all in all, and that we're responsible unto Him and what He's instructed us. He says in verse 25, I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Prophets of deceit of their own heart. So just because they were running, just because they claimed to have a message, didn't mean it was the truth. Just because they claimed to have a word from the Lord, didn't mean that it was from the Lord. Amen. The Lord is pointing out here through Jeremiah to the people of Israel, to God's people, to know the difference. And Brother Rickyson told us everyone that stands and claims to be Primitive Baptist doesn't mean that they're preaching the orthodox old line gospel in truth. Amen. As it is and it's been revealed that we have stood upon and believed and trusted in. Amen. For all of these 2,000 years since the coming of our Lord into this earth and Him calling forth men, apostles, and sending them forth. Amen. One of the very meaning of the word apostle is sent one. Amen. Sent one. The apostles, they ran, but they had a message. Amen. They were sent. They had the message that God had given them. Remember what the scripture says about John the Baptist. It says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Amen. The Bible plainly says he was sent from God. Oh, I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, He was sent. Amen. By His Father. Oh, when He says there in John the 6th chapter, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent. The will of Him that sent me. I've told many of folks and men, I've said this, if you can get out of preaching, you get out of it. Amen. If you can get out of it, you get out of it. That's something you don't want to heap to yourself. You don't want to mama call and daddy sent. That's a burden you can't bear. That's and if you're not God called, God's not going to help you with that. Amen. God's not going to help you bear that load because you're trying to take upon yourself something and something to do that God has not called you to do. God had not called these false prophets. They had taken it upon themselves. They were going in their name. They were going in their ability, and they had the wrong message. It is a hard life, a minister of the gospel of Christ. It's on your mind 24/7. You never get out of it. You go to bed with it on your mind. You dream about it, and then in the morning you get up and it's still there. I'm not trying to complain. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say, woe is me. I'm just simply trying to make the point, because you don't know, because you're not, if you're not called. There's just the few in here this morning of us brethren that have been, all of you, the vast majority, you haven't been called to preach. You don't know, you don't understand that. I would tell anyone, don't just get up and run. Don't just get up and try to go. Don't just get up and try to preach. But if the Lord is calling and has called, then you need to heed that call, because you won't have rest from it. You won't have any peace of mind until you yield to that and say, Lord, help me, and I just surrender unto Thee in this area. And Lord, I can't, but You can. I don't want to run in and of myself. But Lord, if You're giving me the message, if You're calling me into this, then we need to heed that. And we need to walk in a way of obedience. But if He's not, stay away from it as far as you can stay. Amen. Just stay away from it as far as you can stay. Because it's not an easy road. It's not an easy road. I do want to get over to the New Testament. There's more things that we could say there. But I want to turn to the Roman letter and enlarge this just a little bit further in Romans chapter 9. And I want you to notice the expression in verse 16 in Romans chapter 9. But notice what he said up above this. And he's talking about The children, verse 11, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now listen close to this. So then. Here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion to what I just read to you of these verses up above. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Amen. What is this teaching us? Brother Ricky's already told us this morning. Oh, the eternal salvation of God, the means, Christ Jesus. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. His finished work is the only means. He is the means of eternal salvation. He's the means of temporal deliverance also. Amen. He's the power source. Amen. Whether we're talking about eternal deliverance or a temporal deliverance. Amen. He's the power source. But here we understand. He's just told us about the purpose of God. He's just told us about election. Then he tells us the conclusion of it is, so then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. But yet we have so many that will try to tell folks, you've got to run this way and run that way and do this and do that. You've got to believe. You've got to confess. You've got to repent. You've got to be baptized in water. You've got to walk the aisle and shake the preacher's hand. You've got to pray through at an old-fashioned altar of prayer. Then you've got to be faithful to the end. You've got to outrun the devil to the grave. All that is man running. But I just read to you the conclusion of it is that it is not of him that runneth. Oh no. Not of him that willeth. It's not in your will. Oh, I want to tell you, amen, our will is in bondage. Amen. As far as spiritual things and spiritual conduct, Adam put us under a bondage, under the law of sin and death. Your will is bound. Well, friend, Adam, he's the only one back there that had that choice. Amen. In the garden, we don't have that. And when man had that, he still messed up. Yeah. Amen. He still messed up. Someone said, oh, if you'll just think it hard enough, if you'll just will it hard enough, this will happen, that will happen. If you'll do this, if you'll do that. Many instructions to tell, amen, the Lord's people that are burdened under the weight and the heaviness and load of sin. We understand John 6:37 there, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's regeneration. That's an inward coming because it's a drawing by the Father to the Son. But then we have, amen, another in another aspect when he says, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, that's to the little struggling child of grace that needs some comfort and consolation in Christ Jesus, because they're struggling at Mount Sinai and they need to come on to Mount Zion and have that rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that he is the end of righteousness, the end of the law, and everyone that believeth, to those that will throw themselves upon the rock. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ cast ourselves, as we heard it preached, amen, upon him. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It doesn't matter how much religious, quote unquote, religious activity is going on or trying to do. That's not what gets the job done for populating heaven in immortal glory. It's the means that God devised. The means that God devised. All that lesson in the Old Testament, all that teaching that God hath devised means whereby He is banished. Amen. Are not expelled forever. They're not cast off forever. Oh, I can rejoice in the finished work of Christ this morning to know that He will not lose one, and that not one will be missing in heaven in immortal glory that God loved before He ever created, before the very foundation of the world, the very objects, amen, of God's love and mercy that He foreknew and that He chose and treasured in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not with man to will or man to run in order for that to take place and to be consummated and to be wound up and finished up in heaven immortal glory. Amen. Oh, I feel so insufficient so many times. Oh, I feel closer to hell's gate than heaven's door. But I'm glad to have this little tidbit of understanding this morning, and it is a greatness in God. Oh, and a great hope in Him to know. Amen. Of arriving in heaven's pure world, being carried on the wings of love of our loving Savior when we breathe out our last here, to be ushered into His very presence. For to be absent from the body will to be present with the Lord. That is not because that I willed it or that I ran and that I was successful in the run. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. It was said, Stephen preaching in Acts, he spoke of John the Baptist and said that John the Baptist ran his course. But it was because of God's mercy and grace here in time. It wasn't the running of the course for heaven and immortal glory. Right. Someone said, wait a minute, preacher. It says over there, 2 Timothy, when Paul said that, when he says, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I finished the course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But so many people want to put in the definition and use the word there, therefore. It don't say therefore. It says henceforth. Yeah. Henceforth. If it said therefore, we'd have some problems.
Yeah.
We'd have some problems. In other words, based upon the conclusion that he's going to have a crown of life, based upon what he did, but he said henceforth.
Right.
On beyond this. Henceforth. On beyond that. And it was great that Paul had that great consolation and feeling of peace. I hope when we come down the end of the way and press our dying pillow and we have some few moments to think about it, well, that there are some things that we can kind of feel good about in the Lord Jesus Christ and can praise Him for with our last breaths. Oh, but it's not going to be because of what we did or haven't done. It's going to be because that the purpose of God,
right,
according to election, is going to be standing.
God.
Never fail. Never falter. And I'll read this verse in conclusion in John chapter 1. When he says, he came into his own, starting there in verse 11, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's no regeneration in that verse.
No.
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. This receiving, this embracing, this acknowledging the Lord Jesus is in a way of discipleship. In manifested children of God.
Yeah.
To manifest what the Lord has already done within. Because He clearly puts the disclaimer, if you please. And says that these people that is in this category, that's embraced in verse 11, it's not because of them.
Right.
Which were born. That's talking about the new birth.
Yeah.
Not of blood. nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I pray the Lord bless you and give you understanding how these things together that we've tried to have this thought this morning.